The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're going to review for a while the doctrine of the importance of doctrine, as this is very essential to the believer and orientation to the plan of God. And what sets adjusted believers apart from the rest is that they do indeed do more than give lip service to the Bible. They take it seriously. So let's prepare ourselves in the usual fashion. And, of course, one of the things and a vital thing for you that Bible doctrine teaches us is that we need to walk in the Spirit. That means to be filled with the Spirit and follow the information. You may object to the review of this doctrine right off the bat, but you are maladjusted. So get back adjusted and focus your attention on the information and trust in God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that we have and the truth that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity and ask that you bless the communication of this information to those who are open and have an ear to hear. In Christ's name, amen. All right, definition and description of what we mean here. Bible doctrine is the content, the entire content of the canon of Scripture, contained in the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments. This information is to be extracted and brought out into the open through communication by someone who has the ability to do the proper hermeneutics. We call that the ICE principle. Eisegetics is the Bible needs to be studied in the context or the times in which it was written, or put another way, historical background information. That involves a lot in any given place. Categories of doctrine. Categories of doctrine means that what the Bible teaches with regard to any topic that it brings to our attention. Let's just say we picked a doctrine, just out of the clear blue. Let's say we picked the doctrine of marriage. What does the Bible have to say? And it has a lot to say about the divine institution of marriage. And it is therefore, and this is related to both the non-Christian, marriage is for the whole human race, and for the Christian. The Christian has other particulars that they have to deal with that maybe the non-believer does not have to deal with. Anyway, an exegesis, that's breaking it down, looking at the original language, and getting a proper translation, which, by the way, in some given verses is not easy. I mean, it's a challenge. And then the dispensation of which we're a part, this is to be accomplished through the gift of the local pastor teacher, the hyphenated gift, with emphasis on teaching, telling people about things, explaining to them, pick a topic, the millennium. And the Bible has a ton to say about the millennium. So that information, and I'm sure there is information we can still learn, even those of you who have been here a long time and absorbed a lot of information on the topic. I'm just picking something at random. Instruction, that's how you're to behave yourself. How you are to conduct and comport yourself in this world and around other believers and within the family of a local church. An exhortation, that's where the pastor teacher is exhorting people to fill in the blank, the ever popular doctrine of separation, which should be a very popular doctrine, actually. It's a protective doctrine. So we have exhortation. The doctrine can only be appreciated, and this doctrine can only be appreciated in how you regard the Bible. Now, when I say regard the Bible, I'm regarding the Bible in its original languages. I'll touch on that in a moment. That the Bible is inspired. There's a whole doctrine about the process by which the books of the Bible the information in them was transmitted to the individual human author who was under a special situation when the individual composed the book or the books that he wrote. Verbal means that the inspiration extends to the words, every word. Plenary is a word that means complete or total, inspiration. Not some of the Bible is inspired of God, but all Scripture is inspired of God. All of it is therefore essential to spiritual development. We occasionally hear people, well, why do I need that for my Christian life? That ought to be shot down immediately, instantly. Who are we to pick and choose topics and rate them according to importance? All Scripture is essential to the spiritual well-being of a believer. It's like having a good diet. Well, I don't like vegetables. Well, then you just killed a big part of your diet because you don't like vegetables or you don't like green ones. That's an illustration of the principle here. So the Word of God is very special. It is not tainted with error. I mean, there are issues with regard to proper translation and some textual considerations, but the fact is it is all inspired. Jesus paid tribute to the Word of God, obviously, in a lot of different places, but for now... one example is Matthew 5:18. He says, for truly, he likes to use the formula truly, which means emphatically, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. There he's paying tribute to a section of the Word of God called the law. All will be fulfilled. All will be realized. It is God's sovereign and directive will, subpoint C, and this is very important. Doctrine isn't just for some people. That's good for you. What's that mean? That's silly. All doctrine is necessary, and it is, that's 1 Timothy 3, 2, 3. Paul talking to Timothy, this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. So we want to do things that are good and acceptable in the sight of Christ, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. Not some, but all in the human race. His desire is that all be saved. And that same all, and all to come to a The word for knowledge is epinosis, full knowledge of the truth. So that's basic, and therefore never complain about studying this doctrine or this book or this subject. All of it is essential. Get in fellowship, pray about it, and have God help you to extract what you need to and can, but it varies with your spiritual growth level. I can't expect some people to understand certain things because they need more information. Bible doctrine, D, is correctly perceived only under the GAP, okay, GAP system. G is for grace, A is for apparatus, P is for perception. And for you to be under GAP is to be in fellowship, learn a doctrine, file it away. Because it'll come up again. It's all interconnected. So the GAP system requires certain features. It requires the positive volition of the individual, environment of the local church, the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and a desire to learn and understand doctrine. We live in a world that does not desire obviously, to want to learn and understand Bible doctrine. It's all around us. Oh, part of it, some of it, maybe, but not all of it. I see this so frequently in so many ways. There are people that are real interested in certain aspects and things in the Bible, and they figure out certain things. But you can get from their teaching that they're not a part of an environment like this. They're self-study types, whatever they do. They are not in a lampstand, a local church, or some of them definitely appear not to be. They're just self-appointed teachers. And they research certain things, and they figure certain things out. But it leaves a lot to be desired in the overall picture. We can even benefit from them under, you know, the useful idiots deal. They do figure out some things. God uses some people out there to figure out certain facts that help us to understand the Bible. 2 Corinthians 2, verses... This was the one. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:10, and I know we won't get it all. This is just a quick... anything you learn about God, about truth, comes through the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is the teacher. Now, I'm up here teaching, but if I'm in sync with Him under my gift, then ultimately it's the Holy Spirit who will reveal and open your eyes to things you need. That if you will let it, will change your life and bring you out of the darkness, the ignorance that we are all born into and all subjected to in our world. Because this is a world, Bible does not portray it in a good light. It portrays a realm of darkness, deception, and lies. And there's religious ones, and there's all other kinds of ones that are out there and have people its influence. 1 Corinthians 2:10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." And "For who among us knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world." That's a certain type of spirit. The trends of the time. "But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." God isn't stingy about giving out doctrine to people. "Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom." The Greeks were big on human wisdom, human philosophy, and their kind of argumentation and stuff, their approach. "But through those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." And then he goes on to say that the unbeliever does not comprehend spiritual things. Well, there's a lot of believers that don't comprehend spiritual stuff. I have a battle in here from time to time on topics. I try to make it very clear. This is what the Bible says. Your responsibility is to cycle that information, gap that information, and make it apart as quickly as possible. And do not resist these things, even new things. It is important that you follow along carefully and judge things by what does the Bible say about the topic. That's what I've been trying to do lately. Anyway, Bible doctrine... the truth, God always has known it, as and is His immutable will. It is His will for us. We come to church to find out the directive will. We find out the viewpoint will of God. And that's why we should be here every time to pick up on that. Bible doctrine will exist eternally after the dissolution of the creation. I read that. Bible doctrine contains no error or distortion whatsoever. One of the terms for it is the wisdom of God. Wisdom. And the wisdom of God is the basis for everything important and wonderful. Proverbs 8, a wisdom chapter, the wisdom book, Proverbs is Proverbs 8, 6, and 9. I like this chapter because it's devoted to wisdom. Wisdom is personified here. Now, look back in the time, Old Testament times, when there was an appeal on the part of a prophet in calling the people back to God or informing them of things. And so in Proverbs 8:1, does not wisdom call? And understanding lift up her voice? Well, it needs the voice of a man, usually, to articulate it. On the top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet. You know what that is? That's an intersection. Out there would be a prophet standing, and people are running up and down the road. So it would be an appropriate place to encounter people. She takes her stand beside the gates. This would be a gate to a city where a lot of things went on. Social, commerce, and other things went on. Besides the gates, in the opening of the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. What does she cry out? To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O stupid ones, we got the word naive. That's a choice in the translation. It means stupid or ignorant ones. Understand prudence. Prudence is good judgment. Using good judgment. And O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I'll speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to me. I have no part in that kind of activity. That's all the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find or discover knowledge. Then he says, take my instruction and not silver. Doctrine is more important than money, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. Pursue wisdom, pursue knowledge, a theme throughout the Bible. Here's the funny thing. If you will pursue doctrine, truly, genuinely, these things that you want, desire within reason and are not sinful, they'll pursue you. You pursue like the cosmos pursues its thing. So that's the formula. For wisdom is better than gems, jewels. And all desirable things cannot compare with her. If you've got doctrine on the inside, it's better than all this stuff that are desirable to people. All the materialistic things that are out there. All right, we'll stop with that. Again, a reminder, the importance of Bible doctrine over the pursuit of the things of this world. And the knowledge of doctrine says, if you trust in God and pursue doctrine, these other things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, if you're wanting it in a certain measure, then that's another story. But if you're willing to stick in there with the truth, these things will come to you in their time and in their place, if you can ever adopt that formula. In the meantime, don't worry about it. Concern yourself with getting wisdom, being here, come what may. Even though the audience is thin, it doesn't should not affect you. What ought to affect you is you be here and you be under face-to-face teaching. The rest will take care of itself. Moving on, H. This is very essential to you and to your well-being as a believer in Jesus Christ. Your life on this earth, where you interact with so many people at various levels, work, school, whatever out there, you're going to run into people. And a lot of these people are going to be nice and kind and funny and whatever, but they're not positive. They will not come here and endure doctrine. That means that your social periphery, and this includes everybody, your family members who are negative, I'm not asking anybody to treat them bad. I'm just saying that they do not share your spiritual interests. And it is a known fact that we are influenced negatively by our association with the wrong people. We can use illustrations. If you hang out with a complainer, you're going to be one. We all complain from time to time, perhaps. Maybe a couple of you don't. You know. But if you hang out with a man that has a big mouth and a temper, and that's your buddy, it'll rub off on you. If you hang out with a loose, immoral crowd, it will rub off on you. If you hang out with people that's all about making another $1 million, it'll rub off on you. You hang around hellraisers, it rubs off on you. Whereas if you are around, or if you have people that are complaining and this, all that stuff. And even in Maranatha Church, and I'm not here for you to, people that are suddenly not acting right, saying the wrong stuff, we all do. I'm not talking about that. I mean, one of the prayers you ought to have is that God bless my social circle with the right people that can encourage me spiritually. Not the people that will tell me every minute that everything's okay, la 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 land. But someone who is willing, on occasion, to rebuke me. The psalmist said, let me receive rebuke. Let me not react to it. Let them do it with kindness and love. That's important. That they know, the person knows, I love you. I care about you. This isn't phony love. This isn't something just to be said. And therefore, I am your friend, and your actions regarding this are troublesome, and you need to apprise and take a serious look at it. Because we all can drift into different little ways. So you need good friends. You need people around you. Pray that God will bless those in your periphery that you're in that. I've noticed that people are trying to do the right thing. They kind of figure out who it is. And it just isn't everybody in a church, regardless of the size. And I'm not here to tell you to judge people and immediately separate from people or anything. I'm just saying that if they're not reinforcing you spiritually, then what's this? If it's all about this other stuff, or they're discounting certain things, well, Jack just says, then you ought to turn and run. Because they're immediately driving a wedge and trying to influence your attitude towards your shepherd. It would be something you would, I don't want to go there. That's a danger zone. Doesn't mean you write them off completely. It doesn't mean that. It just means you pray that God will put you around the right people at the right time. And it may not be your family. It may not be any members of your family. I mean, I'm talking about they're in the local church. This doctrine of separation has so many people saying so much junk about it to try to discount it. I've heard it all ever since it came up. Well, then how can we witness to people? You know, with a little whine in their voice. Easy. By your life. And if you have opportunity, give them the gospel. Give them truth. Throw a nugget of gold out there and see if you're throwing it before a pig. You can witness. It's a witness to say the truth. Even if it's a brief statement with regard to what's right and wrong or whatever it is. That's a witness. And therefore we're before people. But I'm talking about the people you hang out with. Is it okay to hang out with people that are in this kind of a lifestyle? No. It's very important to our well-being, and you all know what an encouragement is to be around people who are in fellowship and are on the same page, and their insights, their encouragement, even if they aren't trying to, you just get it. That's who you need to pray that you are around. It may change in the course of your life, because some people fall by the wayside or get crazy. And it's painful, because I don't like losing friends because they're acting stupid. I don't like it at all. But I can't do anything about it. I don't try to hang on beyond a point. You'll all be tested on this one. We have the doctrine of separation. Separation means you have to have discernment. Well, I don't hang out with those people. I'd rather be alone than to be around those kind of people that have no divine viewpoint, can't say anything right about God, are immoral, or whatever they are, and want to be around them. I don't want to be around them. As a young Christian, I began to realize this right off of the bat, that my buddies from high school, and they were, quote, good kids, you know, just typical high school kids. They weren't juvenile delinquents. I could see that crowd. We didn't have a problem when I was that many years ago with kids in school doing drugs. But the first psalm deals with that, Psalm 1. And it's real cool in the sense that you want to be blessed? Here's a key. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. What's standing in the path of sinners? Hanging out in places where people are involved in STA behavior, notably places, like a strip club. I just used something silly. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers, societies and various things where people are scoffers with regard to God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. You have to think about doctrine beyond this Bible class. Sometimes I lay awake at night and I'll use it to think about stuff. Whatever, you know, try to think about something, be in fellowship, think about something worthwhile. He will be like, what will happen if a person does this consistently? He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. He's in the right place. Streams of water. He puts himself in the periphery of water, which is water is metaphorical for doctrine. I'm getting to Bible class. I'm beating the door down. My best friend left. I got to be there anyway. Whatever. I'm going there. See, that's a witness to everyone else. I'm standing up. I'm doing the right thing. And even in this period of trouble for our church, which yields its fruit in its season. So water, a tree needs, root system needs water. So if it has good water, if it's a fruit tree, it's going to produce fruit in its season. That's divine good production, people. Divine good. And its leaf does not wither. That's the external glory of a tree. What makes a tree pretty? Basically, it's its leaf. It's its foliage. And in whatever he does, he prospers. He's just blessed. Because he's meditating on the law. He's not associating with these kind of people. He doesn't hang out with them. He doesn't want to be in the company of these people because they've got this or that. Then he shows the contrast. The wicked. Now, wicked is a Hebrew word for someone who is at odds with God and his plan, whatever their lifestyle. Spiritual, I call them spiritual criminals. A spiritual criminal is somebody that, whoever they're doing out here, they've blown off God and his plan. The wicked are not so. But they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. And it may not look like it to you out there that some of these people are chaff, but they're not. The wicked are also unbelievers here. The chaff is the shell of a wheat, and it's very light, and when it the wind easily pushes it away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. The unbeliever, he will not stand in the judgment. He has not found the Lord. He's an unbeliever. Nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Sinners is used a number of ways in the Bible. One of the ways, context, it's a term for unbelievers. Not always, but for unbelievers. It can be used to believers who are just pushing ahead under their sin natures. They're acting like the unbeliever. So they're sinners. They're running under their STA. I have a bunch of them that are my sheep that are sinners. They're running under their STAs. And there's all kinds of STA activity. Tons of it. But people get caught up in. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish from the earth. I added up from the earth. But that's what it means. It's going to be gone. All of it. I look at these people all the time. It's about over. For the human race in general, a lot of people are passing by the scene as we speak. We hear about them all the time. So-and-so died. Oh, he was a famous actor. Oh, well, big deal. And he'll soon be forgotten. What he should have spent his life doing was finding the truth. But he was a famous actor. And he was in his prime, and he was the hottest thing around. And then he got old, and then he got sick, and then he died. And if you look at his life, he had all these problems, money problems, women problems, sickness problems, a lot of times. This is the way, this is the path of these people. So do not envy the wicked. Don't envy these people around you. Be glad you found Maranatha Church in the truth, however humble your circumstances are as a human being in this world. God is for you if you're for the truth. Now, if you walk right out of here and go back acting and talking just like before you came, this hasn't done you any good. And I want it to do you good, but I can only do so much. There's so much to be gained if you'll give God and doctrine a chance, a real chance. And don't go flying off the handle because the first little bit of adversity comes up. Because we live in a world where there are troubles and problems. Don't let that discourage you. All right, I'll leave it at that. It must be recognized that there exist systems of doctrine which are in antagonism to the unity of the faith. Ephesians 4, 13 and 14, unity of the faith. Or that form of teaching, which I really like. Paul says there is a form, there's a grid. I use the word grid. There's a theological grid. If you're in the grid and you got the right grid, everything's going to be fine. We work on the grid all the time. We work on particulars of it all the time. There's a grid with regard to the nature and the issues that are all related to our salvation, like eternal security and other things. Existing in the canon. Canon is a word for a measuring rod. Which systems are called darkness, evil, apostasy, doctrine of demons, etc. Satan has spread this world with all of his counterfeits, and they are everywhere. And he's had all this time and all these willing people to line up with this mess. They've institutionalized it in churches, in certain types of science that is bad, theoretical in particular. Theoretical. Everything theoretical should be, it's a theory. For God's sakes, it's a theory. Science that isn't theoretical is something that is observable, repeatable. That's the whole scientific thing you learned in school. When somebody comes up with an idea, and that idea has to be able to be proven, or it's just an idea. Unfortunately, it is foisted on people all over the world, and Christians have fallen in with it. These systems are all sin nature, distortions of the truth. The wisdom that comes down from above is pure. The wisdom from beneath is demonic and corrupt. And it's presented in a real nice way, real fancy. Big institutions are into it. All over the earth. Now, I've told you this before, the best English translation. I didn't say every verse in here is perfect. I didn't say that, you know, there isn't another translation that might have a better rendering of a particular verse. There's so many English versions. The Jews have a version, and they've translated into English. There's all kinds of different ones. We're familiar with King James, New King James, New International Version, blah, 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 blah. But the best English translation is the one you should have a copy of, the New American Standard Version. If you don't have your own copy, get one. Get your own copy of the New American Standard Version from the standpoint of the original language. It is overall an excellent translation. Nevertheless, we have to check things out. Okay. briefly, so important is this doctrine that there's a statement to the effect that God has magnified His word above His name. Name means reputation. I will bow down before your holy temple, says the psalmist, and give thanks to your name. In other words, bowing down before God and offering thanks to your name for your loyalty, loving kindness. I prefer loyalty. And your veracity. You're a God that is, you are loyal and your truth. For you have magnified God all to make great your word above all your name. So what basically this is saying, God is bound by His word. I count on that. We all do. Good grief. We count on it that God is, to the letter, is going to back up His word. We start with salvation and any other doctrine. So that's where you stand first and foremost. What's the Bible say about it? Once you can determine that, then let everything else be a lie and I'm with God. Because I don't want, it may sound funny. I'm holding Him to His word. I am. You're only as good as your word. If that's tainted, then it isn't any good. God is bound by His word. If He says He'll never leave or forsake you as a believer struggling in time, He means it. You've got Him in your corner. The rich guy out there, he doesn't. He doesn't have Him. And he's walking on slippery ground. He thinks everything's fine because he's got a big account somewhere and a nice big home and blah, 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 and the doctor just gave him a clean bill of health. And he's making plans for the future. Another dumb rich man going down. I'd rather have God. God is my gold. That was in Job. God is my gold. Well, if you do that, you won't have anything. What? You do the right thing, you have God. He's going to take care of you. Now, you just have to check yourself and be sure you're living in His will. God's reputation is the carrying out of His word. How does God have a reputation? He does what He says He's going to do. He's going to make it all good. Everything in the Bible, in the end, will be held up as right and will be fulfilled. We just want to be on the right side of that. Whatever our numbers are, whatever we have to go through, whatever the future holds to the rapture. The mature believer rejoices when God carries out His word. And we're going to get to see front row seat of some very special stuff as believers in Maranatha Church who have paid our dues. Right before Moses died, he gave him a farewell speech. Now he was with these hard heads all that time, and it's his time to get relieved of that and get out of there and turn them over to Joshua. His ministry had come to an end, and there's a long section in here, and it was. Guess what? His parting address was not about him. Wasn't about some emotional, oh, I got to go now, and everybody, you know. No. It's in your face like he was when at any time. But here, he just basically said, your marching orders, O Israel, is the Mosaic Law. Learn it, study it, follow it, and the amount of blessing, even in the temporal realm, is beyond your comprehension potentially. You do these things, and I will bless your nation with all kinds of physical prosperity, like the which you can't even imagine. I will make you the greatest nation on earth. I will defeat your enemies. I will pour blessing from the skies and from the ground and from every angle and every source if you will march according to this law. And not live like the Gentile pagans out there. You will be a light to the nations. All of this. You will not have the difficulties that other nations are facing. I don't mean there won't be any threats against you. I mean I'll take care of them. That's the path you can go down as you are about to enter the promised land. Because they're about to take the land. But if you don't, and God is the monitor of it, I will bring the kind of things down on you in cycles of discipline that would make your blood curl. Know that. And so you have the blessing and the cursing side of things. If your life is a mess and you have problems and all these things, or if you're beginning to have problems that you didn't have, you know, turn back to the truth fully and with a full heart, and things will get better. They may seem okay to you now, but you're lying to yourself if you're going off course. You're getting more and more cosmic in your thinking, more and more alignment with cosmic types out there. Doctrine of separation. Write them off. Well, it's my mother. Yes, but she's a wreck. Look at her. She's not interested in the truth and getting her act together. I mean, again, this will be mistaken by people. If they're ever so inclined, that's on their head. But Israel didn't do this. Israel, in her long history, had good periods, bright spots, better spots, but went right on down, and God's word held up, boom, you're in captivity, and all that. So it is, choose who you're going to serve this day, and it's a choice you make every day you get up. You're going to serve God today? You're going to serve the flesh? Every day you get up, because today, the next day, you can get up and say, I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to follow His marching orders. When were you the very best spiritually? Now? Some other point in your life? Yes, and God puts us in difficult situations sometimes where we have to really stand up and stand tall. He just does. So take advantage of it. Don't shrink back. Do what you got to do. The adjusted believer, if you make mistakes, big ones, get past it, judge it, turn away from it, and do what you're supposed to do. I've given you scripture so you should be able to handle a lot of different situations. You should be able, if you were put in this situation, what should a believer do? I've given you doctrine. If you were put in a situation where the pastor was teaching something that was incorrect, but otherwise had doctrine and everything correct, what were you supposed to do? Cut and run. That's the whole program out there. No. You stay at the place God had put you and move forward. To my knowledge, I'm not doing any of that. I know I'm being judged as such, but that's fine. It's not fine, but it's the way it is. You hang in there. You see it through. If I give you an example out of Scripture, then it should be to encourage you how to operate under a given set of circumstances. We can't always have it like just like we want it. We've got to serve God regardless of what's going on. And don't be throwing, you know, everything overboard. So for Israel, they were to learn the law, live under the law, teach their children the law, and avoid the paganism that was always knocking on their door. Don't form treaties with these people, because then you get ensnared. Deuteronomy 30:11. Now, here's where you need a pastor teacher. Of course, you might be able to figure this out without me, but anyway. For this commandment, which I command you today, what is the commandment? Singular. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. That's the great commandment. The Jews asked Jesus, what's the great command? What's the greatest commandment in the law? Because they sit around and debate this all the time. You know, dummies, all they had to do is go to the Bible and figure out what it was. It's to love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And what's the second greatest commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. To treat others like you'd like to be treated. Okay, so this commandment is not far from you. Or it's not too difficult for you. Nor is it out of reach. It's right within your reach. It's not in heaven. It's not hiding up there. That you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea, some exotic location. All these people that want to go have a spiritual experience and go to some place. That you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it and for us to make it and make us hear it, that we may observe it? But the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. There's the package. There it is. Do with it what you will. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, various ways of looking at the particulars within the law, that you may live and multiply. Bless them with a great population boom. And that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and I call earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life. It's another way of saying, people, doctrine is your life. Is doctrine your life? Are you awake and listening to me? Is doctrine the very air you breathe spiritually? Doctrine, it is your life. And the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Okay, so in the Mosaic thing, that's a good place to show you what was important to the Jews in the age of Israel. Figuring out what was in that law and living by it. Now, when things were bad, there were always individuals, it seemed, that they did the right thing. God blessed them. That would be difficult to live in a nation full of corruption like we do. A nation full of Christians that are corrupt in a variety of ways. That have watered down Christianity till it's almost unrecognizable. And go out and form churches because we don't like that and we don't like this. So we're going to form this kind of a deal. A feel-good operation where everybody hugs each other, has programs and stuff. There's nothing there. I've been there. Legalism. All the usual stuff. The prosperity of Job, and he paid tribute to the importance of Bible doctrine, and we'll pick that up tomorrow night. Again, we're having our ...45th anniversary celebration. I never thought it'd be like this. But it's what it is. I'm going ahead with it. And the sign-up board or anything, I don't know. If you have any questions, ask Neil or ask Jeff Towns if you have any questions about any of the particulars. A picnic Sunday. It's supposed to rain real good on Friday. We'll see. We'll do with it. Whatever. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit encourage us. And may the truth bear fruit in those who are truly listening. In Christ's name. Amen.